Good evening, America. Good evening, Citrus County. Good evening, the U.S. of A. You're listening to EyesOnCitrus.com Radio on this 28th day of July, 2011. A lot of things are going on in the news, as usual, and of course the main thing is that the Republicans have temporarily halted their vote on the Boehner proposed debt reduction budget, whereas Senator Reid has said they would quickly defeat it in the Senate if it were to pass. So as everyone holds their breath, especially on Wall Street, they decide whether or not the United States will, for the first time in history, default on its payments and become a nation with below the triple A credit rating, which we have had right along. So they'll play their games, keep everybody on hold, and we'll wonder what's happening until a final hour, no doubt. And then ultimately, you know that they can't afford to let it happen. I don't believe that it will happen. But irregardless of that, they want to take out their frustrations on the working people, the middle class of this country, while still excluding the multi-billionaires and millionaires who have made untold fortunes over the last 10 to 11, 12 years. It all started when George Bush stole the presidency. And basically, once they got in control, he was the puppet of the corporate monolith and deregulation and a corporate attaining the same status as you and I, living people, as ruled by Bush's Supreme Court, now puts the total control of this country in the hands of corporate America. And one day, I believe they will probably want to change the name of the country from the United States of America to the Corporate States of America. It has been a long time coming, but we're closer and closer to it every day. Probably the first indications when it began was when the big corporations started taking, changing the names, buying up the stadiums, and changing the names of those. So, who knows where it will all end. Excuse the phone ringing there. We are going to have a call-in number. Right now, it's not going to be this number, but we will be having a call-in number. And we're going to see if we can pull it up for you so that you're going to have it. You will be able to call it even after the show, and it's part of our EyeOnCitrus.com website, which is a news website, and we have the board that we're sounding off. So you'll be able to sound off and leave your thoughts and remarks on this number as soon as we pull it up here. Let's see. I've got it. Here it is. It's area code 352-503-8294. That's our sound off number. And with that, you'll be able to leave commentary, which will appear on the website. That is, of course, if it's not full of profanity. And ultimately, while we're doing a podcast, you will be able to call in and talk on the air. So keep checking back until we get everything set up. We've been having some software issues, which we think we have gotten it taken care of, at least for the short term. We never know if it's going to rear up its head, but it seems to be working all right for the time being. But getting back to the budget and the corporate control, the monolith corporate control of the country, it's just about complete. If something doesn't change drastically, the middle class will no longer exist. And I don't understand why it's so difficult for people just to recall. You go back 15 years, we were This country was very prosperous. In fact, we had a $10 billion surplus in the government, and they were wondering what they were actually going to use it for, this extra money. Everybody was prospering, and you know what? When all segments of the society prospered, irregardless if you have a few who are cheating the system on here or there or the other place, the total picture is prosperity. When you have a turnaround where you penalize most of the middle class, give all the breaks to the corporations, their pocketbooks keep filling up while the middle class and the rest of us, anybody else, keep getting closer and closer to the line in the sand. It's not hard to figure out. You just have to look back. Unfortunately, Obama was pretty much a clone of George Bush as far as keeping his same policies. The health care, that's a big sham. That wasn't national health care. It's all corporate health care. That's why there wasn't that much difficulty in ultimately getting it passed. In fact, most people don't even realize that it's not national health care. It's never been national health care the way they have it set up. So it's just another place where corporate America can stick its hand in and make more money. So let the truth be known and spread it. We need to go back to what was working. The big corporate machine doesn't keep to be making billions on top of billions without paying any taxes. Plus, we also give them, the oil industry, we give them, just like we at one time gave, possibly still do, give farmers incentive to grow crops. We give the oil industry cash incentives to continue to search for oil, even though they've been having record upon record being broken as far as profits. On individual quarters, they've never made so much money in their lives. And this phony terrorist war, this war that we've been spending billions, trillions on, borrowing money for, when are you going to realize this is all corporate greed? Obama signed the biggest defense budget in the history of the nation. Can you believe that? The biggest defense budget in the history of the nation. We are the only superpower on the planet. There's nobody threatening us. No one's threatening invasion. This phony terrorist threat. I say phony because what turned out to be individuals, terrorists, who, you know, hit or miss, the government, factions of the government utilize their threats in order to instill fear into the public. And when they did that, they've amended the Constitution so their fundamental Bill of Rights are just about torn to shreds. The Patriot Law was the shredding machine on which the Constitution and Bill of Rights had been laid to. We need to go back to what was working and stop wondering what to do. Things were successful. In fact, the Social Security funding was actually paid up to 2036. If that funding hadn't been tapped into, it was solvent. Much like us, the people in the state government here in Florida, there was nothing wrong with the FRS, the retirement program that the state of Florida had set up that was running successfully. In fact, other states were coming to Florida to see how we had it set up. That funding was to be solvent within 3 years. In other words, it would have paid for, completely paid for itself. Yet Rick Scott felt the need to tear it apart. And it makes no sense other than that he is a corporate lackey. He is a corporate, not only lackey, but he has his own corporate empire that built the government out of millions and billions of dollars. He had to plead the Fifth Amendment at least 75 times. That is, you can refuse to testify on the grounds that it might incriminate you. So the list goes on and on. He had to plead that in order not to incriminate himself. So in the state that elected George Bush through fraudulent means, it's no surprise that one of the biggest criminals out there as far as corporate greed and frauding the government was put into the governorship of the state of Florida. Now there are those who will be, as a friend of mine says, continually stuck on stupid. It's a rather, debasing term, but in a simple term. Yet, I cannot think of anything more clear that what these individuals refuse to look at the evidence, to even look back in history and try to figure out what's going on. We're going to take a break now, and hopefully we'll be back shortly.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. We now stand 10 years past the midpoint of a century that has witnessed 4 major wars among great nations. Until the latest of our world conflicts, the United States had no armaments industry. American makers of plowshares could, with time and as required, make swords as well. But we can no longer risk emergency improvisation of national defense. We have been compelled to create a permanent armaments industry of vast proportions. Added to this, 3.5 million men and women are directly engaged in the defense establishment. Now, this conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state house, every office of the federal government. We recognize the imperative need for this development. Yet we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of our society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals, so that security and liberty may prosper together.
That last clip that you heard was from President Eisenhower's farewell address. In 1960, it was when he coined the term military-industrial complex and was warning all future presidents about their threat, whether it be sublime or overt. They had a real threat, and all of the people associated with that, I think it almost would be more apropos to call it the military-industrial coalition. because there is such a tremendous amount of people in Washington who are part of this military corporate conglomerate, who have made untold fortunes over the last 15 years of continual fighting. But their very first, most disgusting, overt act after the Second World War was won was when they had President John F. Kennedy assassinated. There is proof. Even the Congress back in 78 declared that it was a conspiracy that most people don't even realize it today. Officially, it has been declared a conspiracy by the United States Congress, but after they did so, they did not bother to investigate it further. How convenient. The same people that were involved in that was a coup d'etat. President Kennedy did not want to go into Vietnam. The advisors were going to be withdrawn upon his re-election, and over 50,000 United States soldiers would have never lost their life in the then current longest war we had ever had. But now Iraq has surpassed that. In the time frame between John Kennedy and up to today, there has been continuous fighting in one theater of war or another. And most people are not even aware of it. Most of these wars were clandestine operations. But they continue to fight for the empire. Because basically you have to have an empire that's bent on conquering the world for its resources in order to continually be at war. We are much the same way as the Roman Empire. We have gotten to the point where our legions are romanticized. Our legions fight all around the world, and they give their life, and their bodies come back maimed and broken, and only to be ultimately discarded. It's a shame, and these men are brave. Well, that'll about wrap it up for this episode of IonCitrus.com Radio. Check back. We hope to have a regular broadcast set up sometime during the weekend in the near future. Until then, this is our premier show, and we thank you for listening, and feel free to drop by and check out the website, IonCitrus.com. Our next shows will be much more detail-oriented, but right now we're trying to get the, as we said before, all the software kinks and problems worked out. So, July 28th, 2011, Thursday evening. Yeah, folks, have a great evening, and see you on the other side.